If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The pocket that you know.
Temperature wise, are you better with the fan?
I would say fan off.
Oh,
me personally.
Dude, can I just say, she set the AC in here to like 63. I'm like, it's cold. Like, you walked
that
in.
That is cold.
Were you cold when you walked in?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Fine, some people, I just want people to feel comfortable. And then
I mean, that's a little too.
I definitely like being warm.
Really?
I like being warm.
Okay. Yeah. I wear this in the summer all the time.
Same.
So.
Yeah. I'll go out in like a sweater, a hoodie, or whatever.
Thank you.
When it's 95 degrees, you would do that.
Yes.
My thing, though, I'm not outside for too long. Like, I'm never going places where...
Do I not say
I'll
this?
I'll just sit outside in the sun. Like, but I do probably... It doesn't even matter. I'll throw a hoodie on and still go outside and do whatever, though. Just...
Deuce, I say the same shit. Because my whole family gives me crap for wearing a crew neck all the time. And I'm like, why? But I'm going to be cold when I go in someone's house. Exhibit A.
Or on the plane or something. Yeah, you never know.
I can't be hot. That's...
Nah,
it's my worst thing.
Okay.
We're here with Keon Ellis.
Oh yeah, hi.
I think this is now officially like our fourth in studio guest, second member of the Sacramento Kings.
We've had four.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, like Kendra.
Okay.
Carlos and.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So our fourth. Wow. So,
Keon Ellis, dude. Sure. Thanks for coming by.
Nah, no problem. No problem.
I saw on Instagram last night. Yesterday's Friday night.
Yeah.
And you're at the practice facility 11:22
at
night.
Yeah.
Are you like a night workout person?
I mean, most of the time, if I do go back, it's after practice or whatever. But yesterday, like, because we're kind of on break right now, but I'm just doing nothing at the house. So I'm like, I'm about to go to the gym. Like,
I love it.
Go to the gym
on a Friday night.
So,
what do you do like there on a Friday night though? Is it just like easy shooting, or will you like?
Well, yesterday I was there by myself, so like. Literally just like just shooting, finishing, just chasing my rebounds. Like just
okay. So I know some guys, like a coach has to come in with them.
Uh-huh.
You just went in by yourself.
Yeah. Now sometimes I'll have somebody come in, but it was just like, bro, I'm doing nothing. Like I'm about to go to the gym and just shoot. Like
that's so old school.
I love that. Play some music and yeah.
It's your third year, entering your third year in the NBA, but I want to like go way back. What was Keon Ellis like as a kid? What kind of kid were you?
What kind of kid was I? I would say just all about sports. I don't know, like my whole life kind of just revolved around sports. Like, because all of my siblings played sports. My mom was the coach of the sports. So it was just like, we're always involved with sports. And then, like, everybody, all my siblings played every sport except for, like, soccer and baseball. I played baseball 1 year, but, everybody played every sport. So it was like we're always involved in some sport. So,
sports kid.
Yeah.
And your mom, though, what did she coach?
She coached anything that we were playing.
I love that.
So baseball, basketball, anything?
Not baseball, though. She coached an AAU team we had. She coached my sisters. She had a girl team. And she was kind of like with one. She was kind of over the whole like program, her and like a couple of other people. I'm pretty sure she coached both of my brothers. She never coached me. She never coached me, though.
What?
So, and then for football, she was the cheerleading coach with my sister. So, and she was kind of like also involved with like the board, I guess you would say, or something
like
that. Yeah. So she was helping with that as well. So, yeah, she was, we were always, you know, involved in that.
So, how many, you played basketball, you played football too? Yep.
Basketball, baseball. Football, baseball for 1 year. Yeah.
How old were you when you played baseball?
Seventh grade.
Okay.
Seventh grade.
Okay.
I was good, but like none of my friends like played it. So I was like, it's kind of boring.
So basketball stuck. What made you fall in love with the game?
Well, I was maybe better at football. Maybe. Ooh. I don't know. But I liked it more, but it was just like, bro, it's so hot outside. Like,
thank you.
So hot. You're getting hit. I'm like, nah, like this is just not it. So then I was like, if I'm going to do either or, I'm just going to like give it my all in basketball.
You get to be inside. You get to wear hoodies
if
you need to.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like, who wants to take those hits?
Exactly. No.
But I feel like you'd be really good at football.
I what did I play? Well, on my team, like, my team that I was playing on throughout my years wasn't crazy good. So, like, I was kind of playing quarterback, running back, wide receiver, everything kind of. But I'm pretty sure if I would have, like, played for real, because I kind of gave it up, like, after my eighth grade year. My mom forced me to play my ninth grade year. Ooh. But I didn't want to play, honestly. So, like, I would just go out there and just sit there on the sidelines and chill. But it's crazy because one game throughout the year, our team was actually pretty good. My class of teammates or whatever, we had a good JV team, and like we would always be up 21-0 in the first half and would not score in the second half and lose every time. Except for, I think, one game we ended up scoring like twice halftime, we still lost, or twice after halftime. But one game I was just sitting on the side and I'm like, bro, like, I'm bored. So I go to the coach and I'm like, can I get in? He was like, yeah, go get Keenan after this play. I'm like, I didn't know it was that easy. So I go out there. I ended up catching a extra point touchdown.
Wow.
Somebody was all sides. It didn't count, but it didn't even matter. The fact that I could just ask and get in the game.
I was going to say, you found your voice. And
like,
just...
yeah, I'm like, it's. But we were blowing the team out, and the quarterback, my homeboy, he was like, go ask to get in. I'm like, you know what? It is kind of, I'm just sitting here. So I asked and he was like, yeah, go in. I'm like, well, that's what we're doing over here. Like, it might be while we're losing if you're just letting people ask to get in the game.
That's
but,
hilarious.
Wait, yeah. So then you didn't answer then. How did the love for basketball like stick?
Well, I was good at both. And in my area, I was, for my age, I was probably the best around, or like definitely one of the top kids around my city. So, and I don't know. It was just like, I just felt like if I were to give it my all in one sport, I would do it in basketball. Mm. So,
at what point in high school were you like, oh, you know what, I can go play college ball? Like, did you always have that aspiration? Were you thinking about like college and the NBA, or were you just playing?
No, it's always, you know, everyone grows up like, oh, I want to make it to the NBA.
Yeah, me too.
Same, yeah, same. So it's like growing up, high school, whatever. Knew I was good, but I didn't play on like my high school team wasn't like a. You know, we don't have coaches walking into practices.
Yep.
And then AAU, I didn't play on like a circuit or anything, so it's not like I'm getting offers
seen,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just like I'm out there just hooping. Like, and then even for AAU, I played on like a city team. So everyone from the county, we all played on a city team. We would go to like Orlando and Jacksonville, places like that for tournaments. And then so I think I transferred from like the city that I'm from. I went to the next city over. We won two state championships, and then I played 1 year on like Austin Rivers' AAU team, and he had a team, Team Mom, and we were silver though. So it wasn't like on the circuit, but it was kind of, you were going to be in places where coaches were. And then I was getting some looks and whatever, but then that's when it kind of hit me like, okay, now I'm getting some offers, and it's like, oh, okay, well, college is next. So, but never, like, when I was hooping, it's always just been like, just hooping. Like,
because you then went the JUCO route.
I
did the same thing playing basketball, and I just think it's truly, I feel that same way for so many hoopers. Like, I would definitely push for that for people that obviously don't have access to the knowledge of agents and all these other things, like growing up, because like I didn't know that stuff. But the JUCO route is amazing. So then when you did go that route for basketball, was there a point where you're like, okay, I want to develop here to then take the next level in college? What was that about?
To be completely real with you.
You stayed back for a girlfriend.
No. Okay. I never told anybody. Only people who really know is like people who know. But so coming into high school, I didn't know about like GPA situations and all that or whatever. So like my first year is crazy. The head coach for the JV team was the what is it called? One of the assistants, like principals or whatever. And like, you know, that's when you kind of have to really try to get your best GPA because it kind of carries out through. So he came up to me and all you needed was a 2.0. He was like, you have a 2.0? And I'm like, bet. Bet. Okay, cool. Like, I'm good. So then after that, the next year, I think it went up to like a 2.3 or whatever. But then I transferred. And then on that high school team, on the staff, we also had a guy who was in the, like, the principal level or whatever. And he came and he was like, hey, like, I don't know if anybody's ever told you, but like your core GPA is what matters for colleges and whatever. And I'm like, nah, ain't nobody ever told me that. And it's crazy because our head coach was one of the assistant principals, but he never told me. I never knew. So I'm just thinking, oh, okay, you know, just hooping. Grades are good. Obviously, I'm still playing. So, and then I think rolled up on my last year. And like, so most of the offers I had, teams just kind of stopped talking to me. And then, there was one school or two. I committed to Gardner-Webb. I didn't really want to go there, but it was like one of the last schools who was like, hey, if you end up qualifying, we'll take you. Them and Robert Morris. And I was taking, my senior year, I was taking online classes to replace the grades.
Whoa.
So I still could have made it. But I was like, honestly, I don't want to try to make it just to go to a Robert Morris or a Gardner-Webb. So it's like, I'll just go JUCO and then like, go to one of the top JUCOs and go for 2 years, do good, and then go to wherever else. So I kind of knew what I was doing. And then it's crazy because my high school coach, he used to drive me to school every day. And he would always ask me, so like, how's it coming with the classes? I'm just like, oh, yeah, I knocked out a couple of assignments today. Like not doing. I'm in the class creating a huddle clips. It was wild. It was wild.
Like, you thought I was just doing what I needed to do. Yeah, and playing basketball.
Literally. So like I knew I was going to go JUCO. And I'm like, it's definitely, it was the easier thing to do to just to graduate and just go JUCO. So, went JUCO. And then the first year there wasn't really, I was, you know, sophomores, they kind of are like, as it is in any school, you know, the higher years you have, you know. So the first year we were ranked like number one in the country for a good amount of the season.
Damn.
And then second year it was kind of like, okay, well now it's like my turn to kind of, you know. So then that year we were ranked one for a good amount of the season. I think we only lost maybe one game up in, I don't know, I can't remember. But then it was like COVID happened. So, but I was getting offers and everything. But one of my teammates asked, he was like, you know, like, what school are you trying to go to? And I'm like, bro, I'm not going to a high major. I'm not going to do it just because I know, like, I'm not going to really play and whatever.
Yeah.
But my favorite school is Alabama, though. And I think I had a couple of games where I scored, like, high 30s, 40. And then SEC schools start calling, and then Alabama calls. I'll never forget. So I'm in my dorm, and I'm chilling. And I was with a girl in the dorm. We're just chilling, though. We're chilling. She was one of my friends, though. So we're chilling. And I get a text from Coach Brian Hodges, and he was assistant coach there. Text me, and I never used to look at the coach's name. I didn't really care. Like, what school are we talking to? I seen the University of Alabama, like I froze. Like, I literally just was like, holy shit. Like I don't know. Like, I kind of lost my mind for like an hour, just sitting there. Like, and at that moment, I knew if they offered, I was going to go. So, like, I called my family, told everybody and whatnot. Like, I didn't tell them they offered me, but then they actually end up coming down. to watch a practice or whatever. So he told me that they would eventually end up offering me. So from that moment, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to Alabama.
So at that point, you get to Bama. I mean, that's exciting. You're obviously pumped to go there. Are you? Is it weird taking a jump from the JUCO to playing at that level? Or did it feel like you were starting over a little bit? Like,
It was definitely something different. Just because you have to, it's obviously another level. Like, yeah. You have to get used to it. And so that was probably the main thing. But then, like, when I first got there, though, I was killing. And, like, but the way Coach Oates is like, he gets after you, though. Like, if you don't have, like, a strong, like, mental toughness, like, ooh, he'll break you for sure. Ooh. Like, so, like, what happened? And then the way we play is, like, or it was threes and layups. Like, no mid-ranges and anything. But, like, that was my game. So, like, I hadn't missed. Like, I would shoot mid-ranges. I'm not even missing. And he was, like, I think one time I shot a shot, and he was like, why don't you just take, like, a step back and shoot the three? And I'm like, I made it. Like, what are we talking about? So, I think after that, like, I don't know, like, it kind of threw me off a little bit. Then I started struggling, and then it was just like, damn, like, I kind of got to find, like, a rhythm or something. So then the season rolled around, and I wasn't playing at all. So I'm like, and it's crazy because I thought that I was going to get a lot of minutes, even though that I wasn't really, like, out there, like, killing or anything. So, like, first game comes up, and I'm like, I'm not starting. So I'm like, oh, damn, this is new. Okay, so... Then it's like, I'm not kind of playing at all. So I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, this is really new. So then at that point, it was like, I gotta figure out something. Like, and then I think one of our players wasn't playing. So I ended up, I don't know if I started. I knew I was going to get more minutes that game for sure. So I go out there, and I ended up locking up there. The other team's like star guy or whatever. And then I'm like, and then he pointed that out, like, you know, like, hey, good job. Like, this is all you. I don't think he scored. And then that's when it was like, okay, defense might be what it is. And then after that, it kind of just rolled. And then I was also playing with, like, Herb Jones too. So it was like, I'm watching him, like, and that's kind of another reason why I went to, like, just the way he plays. I was like, damn, like, I love that.
What stood out to you about
the defense? Yeah. Just, like, the effort he gave. The activity. Was just like, just off the charts. Yeah.
God, that must have been hard to score on that team with you and him.
I think we were top five, I want to say, in offense and defense. Yeah. Like, yeah, that was a great year for us, for sure.
When it clicked that, like, okay, defense will keep me on the floor, mm-hmm. was that something that just you were able to shift physically to? Because it's not easy mentally or physically to drain your body like that.
I would say it was easy just because, like, kind of like now, like, when I'm out there playing defense, my role isn't to go pick up 94 feet and then to initiate the offense and try to go score 25, like... Max. So it was kind of easy where it's like, hey, like, I'm going to go guard their best player and kind of chill out and you know, be one of the wings on the offense. So, and just play my part. So it was never really like, man, I'm exhausted from like doing all of this and that. So, yeah, I think I don't think it was too hard of a shift, honestly.
That's what's crazy, too. Just you brought that up, that description. I'm like kind of thinking of De'Aaron sometimes, like. He's guarding some of the best guys sometimes. Facts. Then you need him to push the pace. Hey, you need to get to the rim, or we need you to carry it. You got to score 25.
And you're one of the fastest players in the league, and you're, like, pushing yourself like that. Like, sometimes it just doesn't click for
people.
Listen,
when I started playing towards, like, or started starting towards the end of the year, and, like, I was Malik was hurting. I'm telling Malik, I'm like, damn, I don't know how y'all do this, Malik. Like, it got to a point where, like, we're going through shooting times, and I'm like, in my head, like, this is not getting me any type of warm. Like, I'm just out here just throwing it up. Like, they're going in, but it's like, I'm not getting a rhythm. I'm not getting warm. Like, and I'm talking to Malik, and I'm like, bro, I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't know how y'all do it. And he was like, yeah, imagine how Fox feel. I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking about that right now. Like, damn. Like, and I was back home, and I was talking to people, and they're like, joking, but like every time, or not every time, sometimes I see people and they'll be like, "Oh, you messed up my parlay or whatever it is," and oh, I'm like, I probably did. Yeah. I probably did, but like I was telling people, actually, my friend, I was at my friend's family's house and they was having like a dinner or whatever, and I was like, people honestly don't think about it, like they just think like for a Fox, like, oh, Fox can go get 30 against whoever, and it's like you're not thinking about, we just probably played two games, like probably off of a back to back, just landed, and things like that. People definitely don't take into consideration.
No, they
like,
think money could make you faster.
For sure,
they think money can make you stronger. Yeah.
Well, I've always said this though. Like to me, it's a credit. You guys do things that are incredible, but you guys do make it look easy, yes. And like people look at that and go, "What? They should just be able to do that all the time."
True.
I go play pickup ball on a Saturday. The next day, I'm pretty sore.
Oh yeah,
and I'm not going up against NBA talent. I'm going against some, you know, Discord fans.
And you're very proud of yourself every time you get one of those rebounds, dudes.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I clean that up. But my point is, I don't play the next day. I don't have to travel. So
that's true.
Yeah, no, that I don't think that's something people think about all the time. Like. And De'Aaron specifically, because I do think there are times where he gets like some shit from people like, oh, man, he settled. I'm like, man, he's being asked to do a lot out there. He took a three. Yeah, it's hard drive 24/7, take those bumps at the rim, maybe get a no call. Then you got to get up. You got to go defend on the other end. I don't know. It's just.
Facts.
How's the adjustments coming for you? Because obviously, you know, just like you were just saying, you were seeing more minutes and you were experiencing guarding some of the best players in the world while still trying to add on the offensive end. How has that shift been for you?
The shift wasn't honestly too crazy just because I know, like, once I got comfortable, the defense is just what it is. Like, that's what I do, so I'm never really worried. And I was talking to her because I just went to see him not too long ago, and I was talking to him, and I was like, somebody, or I had a camp, and the kids were asking, or we opened the floor up, and the kids are, how does it feel to lock up Steph Curry? Steph Curry, have you ever been dunked on, all this, that, and that? And I'm like, bro, like, I was talking to Herb about it, and I'm like, honestly, like, as a defender, like, okay, like, say if a guy has if you do lock someone up and they have an off night, like, it's basketball. Like, it's going to happen. There's going to be nights where you get cooked. Yeah. So I'm never walking into a game like, oh my God, like, I got to be worried about this, that. I'm like, only thing I need to know is like which way the screen is coming. And like, I'm going to do my best job to try to make them miss. And if they make it, they are very, very good NBA players at the end of the day. But the offensive end, I won't say always been easy, but my game, I've had more than what I've shown. So it's like, okay, when I got pushed at the starter role, it's like, okay, now it's just I'm able to, you know, show it a little bit and expand on it.
There's the shift. Understanding.
Yeah. The shift was now like, okay, when do I like try to get myself involved on the offensive end, like initiating it wise, mm-hmm. far as, because before, like, you know, when everyone was healthy, it's like, okay, well, you know, we're getting it to Domas and, you know, we're playing, trying to get Kev, Keegan a shot or whatever. And now, you know, guys are hurt, so it's like the scoring load does have to come up some. So now it's like you have to just pick and choose, you know, when you're going to attack and try to score and whatnot. So it was a little bit of a shift, but nothing too crazy because I'm still not going to take any, like, De'Aaron-type shots. Yeah. So, but it was a little bit of a shift, but nothing crazy, though.
You say that. One of my favorite plays from you last year in Orlando.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you remember. The
well, I can. I'm thinking of one, but yeah.
Well, it was a step back. It was a long two.
It was.
A step back on Paolo.
Yeah.
And it was, but that I was watching that. I was rewatching it the other day when I knew we were going to talk to you, and I was laughing at it because it was a close game 2 minutes ago. You're playing Orlando, kind of close to home. Yes, you have family in the building. Facts. And, like, you guys need a score, late shot clock. And it was just such an impressive, like, I don't care that I got Fox out there, Sabonis out there. I think Keegan HB. You're like, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take this.
Right.
And that was.
Well, honestly, was like, mile-wise. What I think what happened, I don't know. I seen HB had a mismatch on Cole Anthony. So like,
I remember you pointed.
I faked like I told him to post up so that way Paolo would kind of like relax to like, okay, he's about to try to post into the ball into the post, and I'm like, yeah, nah, I'm not passing it. I'm not passing it down there. So I told him to kind of post, and he kind of like relaxed, and then that's when I just kind of like snuck it off, and I did, like you said, the shot clock was going down, so like I knew, and he tried to like beat me to the spot, but I was never driving anyway, so. Just yeah,
that was nasty.
Well, you think about and you even say it, you're like, you know, I've always had it, and seeing these different opportunities, you know, has kind of allowed me, empowered me to maybe have more confidence out there to show everything that I have. But I remember in the G, because we've obviously have called all the games that you've been playing in the G League and everything. And it, and something I said to you before we started was just like how fun it's been seeing your journey as a hooper, as a person, everything. It's so cool. But I remember in the G, like you were. Defense. And then I don't know what happened, but there was like toward the end of a season or something, or maybe there was someone else on the team that was like ball heavy. But you then started like really showing off your game more in the mid-range game, showing what you could do off the dribble. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being so impressed, being like, can you do this all the time?
Right.
Like what was it, a coach that said something to you? Was you just like, okay, if I want to get to the next level, I got to change this. Like what was it?
Nah, honestly, I don't know. I couldn't tell you honestly, but I do know like that G League season, like was so easy for us. Like as a whole team, like I think, because I think, you know how they do you have the first part of the season and then it resets. Once it reset, I don't know what clicked because we didn't have like a meeting or anything. I think everybody just kind of knew like, okay, let's turn it up. So like from that moment on, like we just like clicked and it just rolled. And then like we knew like we get a stop. We had multiple athletes, like you get it out on the break. You know, we have guys who can finish over the rim. And then it was just like the offense just was like, oh, we're flowing. Like I'm just playing my game. Like, I don't know. It just became so like instinct at that point. Like we walked into every game kind of knowing like, yeah, like only team that's going to really stop us is us. So like, like I said, I think everybody just was just kind of flowing, going with the flow. And that's what kind of helped.
Yeah. Think about life in the G League too. I mean, it's not easy, especially for someone like you who are on a two-way deal at the time. Like you're going back and forth. There might be a day you're in Sacramento and then practicing with the team, maybe doing shooter, and then going to play a game in Stockton, the travel. What's the most challenging aspect of being a two-way player in the gym?
That is definitely it right there. Like, actually, I wouldn't say that. It's honestly probably days where the G League doesn't have a game, but the main team does. Mm. So it's like you'll go practice with the G League team, and then, like, the rest of your teammates are done. After practice, they're done. They're chilling. But now you have to go potentially suit up for a game you might not even play. So, like, now it's like you've been practiced all day, and you still have to go to your shooting time 4 hours before the game. So it's like you go home, you might take a nap for an hour, and then it's like you go to the gym, do your shooting time. Now you're chilling. You probably already lifted earlier at the G League practice, so you're not lifting pregame. Now you're kind of just getting treatment or getting stretched out or whatever. And you might eat, and then you're just kind of just chilling. And then you go to the game, and the game is lasting two and a half hours. So it's like your whole day is you're active. And then if the next day, because we do like for the guys who don't play a certain number of minutes, like we'll come in and scrimmage, you know, get some coaches and get some activity going. Oh, you're playing in that as well. You're playing in that as well.
It's a grind.
Yeah, yeah. There was a time, though, like, I was at the airport, and I got the call. Somebody wasn't about to play. I think it might have been Kev. I don't know. Oh, I think it was Kev. Kev wasn't going to play. So I come back, dress. I think it might have been the game I scored my first points, actually. I can't remember, though. Don't even remember.
Okay.
But I came back to the gym. I might have played, might not have played. I can't remember. But they were like, you're going to fly with us to San Antonio because the G League team was going to play their G League team as well. So, like, you're going to fly to San Antonio with us and dress because Kev's not playing. So my bag's already checked in, though. My bag's checked into the airport and everything. But I drive, or someone comes and gets me, goes back to the arena. I don't think I played. And then we fly to San Antonio the next day.
On the charter.
Charter.
And while your bags checked
bags
in.
My bags are in. Is it Austin?
Austin,
yeah. So, yeah, bags are gone. And then we get to the game, and I've done my shooting time, treatment, lifting, and everything. And one of the trainers, Joel, is like, "Can you play tonight?" And I'm like, "Yeah, unless Kev is." And he looked at me, he's like, "Kev's playing." And so I'm like, "Yo, like I'm not even dressing anymore." Like, so it's yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
If your day sounds like,
"We need the report ASAP,"
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you so, like, obviously, before I even get there, I want to go back to Deuce. You and I were kind of talking about some of the games that when he first started, then did, yes.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about, like, last year?
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking about, like, a couple of key things maybe for your career. It's interesting because you were on a two-way deal. It gets converted after the deadline. But before we get there, early last year, it was the games in Houston. Fox is out. You guys are getting your asses kicked in. Oh my God, those Houston games. I thought, are they the champs? Like, what's happening?
Oh, stop.
No, but Mike put you in, and you made an impact. It was that mindset of, like, I'm going to go out there and play. Because people call it garbage time, but I'll tell you what, it's not garbage time. You can definitely make some noise out there. You made some noise. It got you in the rotation. And then you're out of the rotation again. But the other key point, I think, was March 1st to me. That one sticks with me. Yeah. You guys were in Minnesota. Okay. Do you remember this?
March 1st. It sounds, I don't know. But
I love it. Okay, this is how nerdy
Deuce,
I am. I'm
Deuce's
like,
brain
dude,
works
March
like this.
1st, a March pivotal 1st. Moment in your career. And you're like, yeah, it's a day.
No, literally.
You guys were in Minnesota. Fox is out.
Yes.
That was the game Malik was just like, he carried you guys to a win. Oh, but you came in, you got the
he
star.
He missed the free throws, right?
Yeah, he did. You guys missed some free throws last year that drove me wild.
Yeah, we went through a stretch.
Yeah. But you came in, it was like instant impact. I remember you had a strip on Gobert. You were everywhere. I don't think you ended up playing the next game. But then after that, you were in the rotation. And it shifted. I felt like it helped shift your guys' defense, too. You guys went up to another level. You guys may have been shorthanded at times. But
in your like presence of itself, like that moment, I remember you not playing in that game after. And obviously, there's always going to be outroar and cry, whatever, from people. And I mean, we definitely were a part of that. But at the same time, then when you came in that next game, it was like, okay, this is the direction that the Kings need to go. So we see this as a pivotal time in your career.
Well, the reason I say that is because I feel like it solidified your. I mean, maybe I'm going too far here. You could tell me, but I feel like it solidified you like, oh no, this guy can be an impact player in the NBA. Like he comes in, whether he's coming off the bench or he's starting, whatever, however many minutes he plays, he can go out there and defend and he can go out there and knock down threes at this level. He's not scared of the moment. Maybe you feel like, well, I knew I could do this, but do you feel like that stretch really solidified your spot, or?
I think so, just because at that time, like, I don't know. You might remember because you remember March 1st. So I don't know. We might have dropped a couple of games or something was going on. And then we had the meeting. And then it was like, you know, we kind of just got to figure out something's got to change or whatever. And so, you know, everyone's throwing out their ideas or whatever. But I think so, just because, like, from that game and the defensive impact I had, like, it just kind of stood out. So I think from that moment on, everyone kind of knew, like, he's producing defense on a good clip. So I think, though, it's crazy because I was so damn tired because, like, I think we might have been on the road for a minute. And, like, when you're on the road, like, at least when you're at home and you don't play, like, in the game, so, like, you know, the next day you do the little, like, low-minute games, what we call it. We don't kind of do it on the road. We do it a little bit, but not as – it's not as good as it is at home. So, like, if we were on the road, it was just, like, haven't really got, like, good conditioning in for a minute. But, like, I was gassed. Like, but I was giving it my all, though. But I'm like, yo, like, I'm trying my heart out. But it was just, like, I'm so tired. Because I think Davion ended up coming in for me at the end. And I'm just, like, appreciate it, Davion. Like, thank you.
Okay. During this time then, you also mentioned earlier that your mom was, you know, coaching all the sports, doing all the things.
Right.
Did when all these opportunities were kind of happening for you, was she just like, oh my God, you're doing it? Were there any family members or friends being like, oh my God, this is your time? I mean, you were seriously, like, I remember our NBC producer was like, he's made this entire defense shift, his presence alone out there, like, what have the Kings been doing without him? And I just loved seeing the outside voices speaking of it. So, like, what was your family like or your friends like during that time?
That is a good question. I know, like, my family, like, because they watch just about all the games. Yeah. So it's like they're always talking in chat, like, damn near like a live feed. Like okay, after I hit a three, like, you know, they'll say something or like whatever. So after I come back to my phone, it's like they've been talking throughout the whole game.
That's
but
cute.
I definitely think, you know, they were really happy for me because it's always been like that, though. Like, for my entire kind of basketball career, it's been like a 2-year increment style. Like, I went to my first high school for 2 years, my second one for 2 years, JUCO to Alabama too, and then my first year in the G, and then the second year, which was last year. So it's like that second year has always been like something, you know, something's good. So, but yeah, no, like everybody, like my phone was just going crazy. Like, especially like once I started playing more and it was like game after game, like,
yep,
it's like, damn, like everybody just, my phone was going crazy. Like, yeah, it's wild.
You talked about like your focus on defense at Alabama, and then here at the NBA, it's kind of the same thing, what you're bringing defensively. Have you always had those instincts, though? And if so, like, what's it take to be a great defender?
I honestly don't know if I've always had those instincts because I used to hate defense, like, growing up. I used to hate it, like, nah, like, that was – just pass me the ball, try to get score, especially when I was younger. Like,
yeah.
Defense.
That's every kid.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think, what's the second part of your question? One more time.
Like, did you always have those instincts? How would you describe, like, what makes a great defender?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's the effort. Like, it's all effort. Like, just like wanting to get a stop. Because, I mean, there is points where you're just like, you'll be out there, or like a guy who's not a defender, like they'll just be guarding, and it's like, like if someone shoots like a tough shot, they'll just not contest and just be like, oh, if he hits it, it's a long game anyway. We'll probably make it up somewhere along the line. So, but for me, it's like, nah, I want to stop like every single time. Like, I damn near want to turn over. Like, it's taking everything in me to not reach and try to steal the ball. So, but yeah, I just think it's like the want to factor.
That's
like, I'm, yeah,
I feel like effort. I hear that because I'm always careful when we talk about like if there is a bad defensive game, pointing the effort sometimes. I think sometimes it is, But I specifically with you, there's got to be like your ability to like read the game too matters,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I imagine your eyes. Well, I mean, you're very good at
oh, shadowing here's a,
here
the
comes
basketball.
A skip pass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can read that really well.
I think it's because if you honestly think about it from the offensive perspective, like, that's how I'm thinking defensively. Like, what would I do if, like, you know, if I was on the other end? Like, so I know if, like, there's plays where, like, if I'm on defense and the guy I'm guarding drives, like, okay, the low man is supposed to be there. So your two reads are either the corner or the wing. So I'm going to play both of them. And I might go down to the corner to the point where you think I'm going to take away the corner, but I'm hoping you pass it back to the top so I can go steal that pass. So it's really, it's really like trying to play mind games, and you just kind of got to know what guys are trying to do on the offensive end. So I honestly just think of it as how I would play on offense. And then I think like playing the video game does help that a lot, because
dude, I've heard this
on the game, like it isn't realistic. And like there's, especially once you play like competitive, like, so I have a bunch of friends who like really, really play 2K, and like all the schemes and things, like the rotations of where you go, and like that definitely helps you. Like, I've been playing for a couple of years, so like I know like where to rotate to, like the next pass is going to be, and like especially if someone's like in trouble, like they're caught in the air, like I know where they're about to pass it to, like, so just stuff like that.
How crazy that this game is going to help the next generation of basketball players. Or it seems. I think so many people rely on their athleticism over the years, being told that they're so good, blah, blah, but then actually being able to understand like schemes and strategy and all the other things that we're talking about. Were you always into that? Was it a coach in college that took you there and like to film? Like what was it?
No, I think like kind of that Alabama thing. Like, okay. I just had to find a way to get on the court. That did help me get on the court. So now it's like, okay, I'm on the court for defense, but now you're obviously going to get shots, and, you know, you're showing that you can shoot the ball. So now it's like you're damn near becoming unplayed. Like you have to kind of be on the court. Like, it's hard to take you off, like, especially if you're shooting it at a high clip and one of the best defenders. Like, that definitely helps your case a lot. So, I think that just the defensive end just is kind of just stuck out to me, like, okay, like that's, and not a lot of people want to do it too, yeah. Like, especially at this level, because you know, like, you're guarding the best players in the world, like they're, and it's very tough for a full 48. Yeah, it's tough.
That's what I was gonna ask you next. Like, who are the toughest guys you've been matching?
Kyrie Irving is probably the toughest to guard, because it's like, for me, I am the most worried about guarding guys who can shoot it from deep. If you can shoot the three at a high clip, it's like, damn, because like now I have to press up, and I kind of can't use like my wingspan. And like, say for a guy like Shea, like, he can obviously shoot the three, but it's like, it's not what he's like. He's not gonna, you know, eyeball you up every time. Like, so like for him, I can kind of like give him a little space and whatever. But a guy like Brunson or a Curry, Dame, like, you kind of have to be in their airspace, because any little bit of like room, it's going up, and we know how those guys can get it going. So but Kyrie is just like, he can shoot it from three, but he can also, obviously the other guys can as well, but it's like he'll get to his spot in the mid range, and he'll do something that you ain't never seen. And it's like, you'll think you have him, and he'll just throw something up with the left hand, and it'll hit nothing but net. Like,
I mean, that game winner he had last year against Denver with the left.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
He's a magician out there.
It's so crazy. He did that, and like the next game in the warm-ups, like, we had guys out there trying to do the left hand like floater. It was crazy.
In
warm-ups, like,
he's doing it at the end of a game.
Yeah.
Like, for the win.
No, he like, it's like he glides, but also I feel like maybe, do you think it's because like his handles are staying so low to the ground? Like, what is it about him being able to just get by people? Because it's not like, I mean, he's explosive, but it has to be something within his handle.
I think, like, his handle is just so tight that you just, like, like, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get to his spots. I almost stole it from him one time. Almost. He hit a crossover, and, like, I plucked it, but, like, I don't know, might have ended up going out of bounds or whatever. But he thought I kicked it, though. He was like, he was like, you kicked it. I'm like, nah, like I almost stole that one. If I would have stole that would have been like a core memory for me.
Yeah,
for sure.
I would,
like,
imagine.
But yeah, no, he's so low with it and everything. Like, but and see, like a guy like Fox, like same. Like, he's not really going to kill you from the three, but he will if you give him enough space. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, like, he's fast as shit. So, yep. like, you can give him space, and he will still find a way to blow by you. Okay. So it's like...
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because you probably have to check him at practice sometimes,
yeah,
right?
For yeah, for sure, yeah.
Okay, what's... Everyone says he's fast.
Yes.
But,
yes.
like...
Yes.
Put that in a way we can understand. Like, it looks fast out there, but you have to go out there and like, try to slow him. I don't even know how you would do
there's
that.
There's no way you're guarding him one-on-one. Like, a lot of guys, you can't guard one-on-one, but it's like people think of, like, say, like a LeBron or a Giannis. When they're coming downhill, it's like, hey, like, let's build a wall and, like, we need to stop them. But it's the exact same for a De'Aaron Fox. Like, any transition one-on-one, you're not stopping it. Like, he's too fast. Like, he hit a Euro one time. Oh, my God. Like, he Euro from left to right, but then jumped back left. And it was like, but the defender jumped. It was crazy. It was. I'm like, yo, like, this is some top of the line stuff yeah. right here. Like, but, yeah, it's just so crazy because, like, he'll slow it down and then, like, he'll speed it back up. Yep. And it's like I said, especially for guys who don't want to guard, like, you're not going to react to that. Like, after he's then dribbled at you 100 miles an hour, stopped on the dime, crossed it over, got to a floater, it's tough. It is.
When people are like, yeah, he should just do that all game. He should just do that the entire game. Yeah. Why doesn't he do that every play? Like, what would you say to those people in the nicest way possible?
Honestly, I have nothing to say. Like, I think he should do it all game too. Yeah, he should.
Yes.
Yeah, facts.
I like that. We were kind of going over, you know, some of the hardest players to defend in the league. Has there been a moment in the NBA now where you've defended someone, picked them, stole it, and you'll like never forget that play, never forget that?
Trying to think. Let's go.
Because you know we have one.
I'm trying to. Okay, I'm really trying to just think of all the stops and whatnot. I honestly might have to go with. Trying to think. I might have to go with the Steph Curry.
Yeah,
I mean that's
like, anytime I can just completely, like, if someone crosses and I can just pluck it, that's top of the line. Like, nothing gets better than that. Like,
that play-in game,
oh,
what a high that was.
Yeah, that was.
Thanks for giving us so much joy.
That high was fun that night.
Try to do what I can.
Yeah, that was a defensive masterclass. Like, Steph is a killer. The last time he was in that building in a winner go home game, he dropped 50 in a game 7 and, like, an unbelievable performance. And you talked about earlier, it's like, these great ones are going to have off nights, blah, blah,
yep,
blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But, like, you just have to make their life more challenging. Dude, you were everywhere in that game. And I think it was you blocked one of his shots at the yep. I think it was the end of the third.
Oh, the quarter, yeah.
Dude, that yeah. was. But you know what? I knew you were feeling that yourself after that game because that picture of you after the game where they took that picture with the chain and you did the.
Oh, yeah. My only thing, though, is, like, I only did it because I love Steph, though. Like,
yeah.
And one thing I love about him is he's a troll. I love it. Yeah. Oh, I love it. So, like, it was just like a little troll.
Oh, thing. I love it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no. Yeah.
That's fine. But do you think about, like, oh, he's coming to get me next year?
Oh, I mean, honestly, like, who? People on the staff were like, you sure you want us to post it? Like, I'm like, I don't care. Like, it don't matter to me. Like, if he comes out and cooks me, shit, he's Stephen Curry. But, like, I mean, I have that preparation going into every game. Like, I'm not going to just try to go out there and get cooked by anybody. So, like, it's not going to – I'm not losing sleep. But I know he probably might try to – not even off of the picture alone, but just the fact that, like, of the game that we had. You know, we beat him, kicked him out or whatever. So, like, he might just try to come in and get a win anyway. Only thing I hate is that we play him twice in the preseason. So, it's like – damn, like, I wish we didn't play him at all and it could be for, like, a regular game for it to actually count. But, yeah, I mean, I would imagine he'd probably try to come out and do his thing. But it's basketball. That's what we're here for.
Competitive mindset right there. No, it's great.
Is there someone that's just cooked you? Really? Is there a moment you're like, God, I wish I had that one back?
Oh, my God. Listen, so, I mean, I'm not mad at it. The whole Jalen Brunson thing.
Yeah, that's...
Like,
damn, man.
I don't, it's crazy because, like, people don't realize I was on his ass.
Yes.
I was on it until that play. Like, he got that one and it was like, damn, like.
That's the one that everyone remembers.
Yeah, that's the one everyone remembers.
You were the only
like,
one that was capable of slowing him down.
Like, I literally, I think not I blocked him. For sure.
Because everyone, nobody could stop him that
but
night.
But I think I blocked him like twice.
Yep.
Got a charge on him. Yep. I plucked him one time. I'm yes. like, bro, like, I got his number right now. So, like, then that happened and I'm just like, bro, that is sick.
Yeah, when you when you went back and watched that, were you just like, damn, man?
Yeah, I'm terrible. I fucking suck. I suck. I tell myself that all the time, like I'm trash.
No,
like,
I
watched it, but I was thinking like, because most times like a team is going to try to call up to get a weaker defender, so like I'm looking like, okay, if he calls the screen, I'm going to force him to the screen so that way we can get the switch. We'll probably go double team anyway, so. Just looking around, like, for you know, sure. just to make sure when the screen comes, I send him that yeah. way. And then, like, he kind of pointed, and I'm like, okay, so you might be. And then I look and I see nothing at all. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, it was crazy. I was mad. But I was really just more mad at, like, because I was really on him. And then
I know.
He got that one, and I'm like,
that game, and I remember that too, that of
game,
it
man.
Just
it
being
was a battle.
Like, it was because everyone was talking about the Knicks around the league as always. And like, it, again, a big stage for the Kings to just show like what they can do. And you guys were like, you guys were not only staying with them, like it was a great game. It comes down to a play after you have a great defensive game. And I'm sure it hurts, but like after that, like what do you do? Because like I'm like you where I would feel just like I'm trash. I hate myself. Oh my God.
Terrible.
But what,
terrible.
What do you do to like stop that?
I mean, honestly, it's such a long season. Like I kind of just got to put it behind you. Now, like that night though, like because usually we lift after games as well. And I'm just in there like, bro, like I'm fucking. Like,
you're not what? Checking your mentions.
What the? Yeah, I'm not even thinking about this lift. Like, what the hell did I just do? Like, but I mean, after that though, like it is what it is. Like, everyone has a moment where it's like they wish they could have it back. So yes. I'm not really tripping on it, but yeah, I get tagged in it a lot, all that stuff. But it's whatever. I'm really not tripping. Like,
you're like challenge accepted.
Also, like it is. What take it away is. That play. Like he in general. I mean. What a tough cover. I mean,
exactly. Yeah, no. He's Jalen Brunson at the end of the day, too. So he's already a tough guard. So, yeah.
I want to ask you, looking ahead now, as we wind this down, you guys land DeMar DeRozan.
Facts.
You were 10 years old when he got into the league. I looked that up. I'm like, that's kind of crazy. Man, you're 10 years old when he got in the league.
I don't know what I was 10.
I think so.
Yeah. Wait. That's what. Well, that's
God,
what
if my math's wrong, that's 2010. When he took this.
If that's when he was drafted.
Yeah, 2009, 2010 season, I think.
You're about right.
I hope. Anyway.
Same. Check that later.
We were just talking about this the other day, and I know I'm like, I have Homer tendencies. Like, I want this team to do well. I'm born and raised here. I do think you guys are being slept on a little bit. Right
probably
now.
So, for sure.
And I mean, look, you guys missed the playoffs last year, but this was a Western Conference that's stacked. It's going to be stacked next year. I just think about you guys adding DeMar DeRozan, what that can do to your guys' offense. What did you think when you found out, like, oh, we got DeMar DeRozan?
When we signed DeMar, honestly, I don't know, because it happened like as we were about to play the California Classic game. So like we were doing our shooting times upstairs and he's up there, and I'm like, what is this, like an official visit or like on college, you know what I'm saying? So like, but then it came out that I guess that we had already, so I guess it was in the works, you know, we were going to sign him or not. So, but yeah, I think he just, he adds more scoring, and it makes it tougher on other teams because not a lot of teams just have great defenders. So now it's like, got to find somebody to guard Fox, got to find somebody to guard him, and then it's like, you have Keegan who's shooting at a high clip open. You have Kevin who can shoot it. You have Malik who can shoot it. Me, like, and then Domas is already going to dominate the paint. So it's like, it's going to be a tough night for a lot of teams. Like, they're going to have to, you know, pick what they're going to live with. And I think it should be a good outing for us, or a good signing for us, I should say.
Yeah, I think too, like,
his ability to play different roles. I mean, he's a good playmaker.
Exactly. He can play make as well. Yeah.
He can get to the free throw line. Yeah. He pump fakes people to death. And you're going to buy one of these.
It's
going to
happen.
When
people
like have concerns about like, oh, the spacing. I mean, don't you think there's just so many benefits to adding someone like DeMar DeRozan that like spacing? I mean, it's a veteran. It's a smart player.
You gotta guard
him. You're going to figure it out, right?
Yeah. People say that, but that's like, I don't know how often he'll get guarded one-on-one anyway.
Okay.
So it's like someone might come help anyway. And it's like, there's your rotations right there. And that's all you need. You just need one person to help. And now you're swinging. Someone's going to take the open shot. Or he might get the pump fake and, you know, someone jumps and now he's at the free throw line. And it'll work itself out. Like, it's not the end of the world. So yeah, it'll definitely work itself out.
I saw a clip of him talking the other day that he's never tied his shoes when he plays basketball.
I did see that. I think I've seen that as well. That's kind of crazy.
Wouldn't you, like, break your ankles?
I don't know. Like, it has to be, like, a soft tie. Like,
it has to be.
Like, or he's not all the way through.
Maybe he has, like, a chunky, like, ankle brace in there, so it's, like, fills it in.
Yeah, I have no idea. But it's, like, there's just no way he's, like, just. Nah, it has to be, like, a soft tie. A soft tie. But, I mean, hey, if it works for him, hey.
He's been doing it forever at a high level.
This is like kind of a cliche question, but what are your goals for this season?
To be honest, I don't set goals at all. I just go out and I just do my job and I let everything take care of itself. But now I will, like, say if, you know, it's coming to the end of the season or, you know, midway through or whatever, and, like, say if I was at, like, 39% from three or something. Yeah. Obviously, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to try to finish over 40. I expect myself to shoot over 40 anyway. So, like, I shouldn't really say that's a goal for me, but as long as I'm in the 40s,
the
standard. I think about that with you because you've been consistently for like a G League, NBA. I feel like now, like, teams are gonna, like, they're gonna come out and guard you a little bit.
You say that, but I don't know because it's like, because
all the weapons.
You have to force someone else to beat you, and I think I would be a guy who they're like, if Keon goes out and has a night against us, we'll live with that, and that's fine with me because it's just gonna be what it is. Like, I think even towards like the end of the year, like, towards the end of the year, it started creeping a little bit. Like, guys were chasing me over screens, but usually it was just like, yeah, we're going under, and then it's like, perfect. Don't watch, drop it off, and I'm catching, and I'm shooting. So it's like, then towards the end of the year, guys started chasing a little bit over. So it's like, okay, well, now we get into the playmaking and whatnot. So, yeah.
You say you don't have goals, but do you have expectations for the team? You're like, dude, I think we're going to be pretty good this year. Like, what's your mindset with the team going into this
season? When I say I don't have goals, like, I definitely don't go, like, I don't have a list of, like, you know, average this money, many steals, you know, whatever. So it's like, now, I don't know. I do want to make a all-NBA defensive team, but it's like,
hell yeah.
I'm definitely not losing sleep over it. Like, I'm not going into every game like, you know, like, okay, this might matter more because it's against this guy or whatever. So it's like, if that does happen, you know, somewhere along the career, then it's like, okay, but
you're
I accomplished that.
You're just giving yourself something to work towards.
Yeah,
like,
That more so is going to be like, somewhere in my career, I do want a defensive team selection. So, but you said what are...
Just with the team, like when you look at what you guys... I know you guys haven't started camp yet, so we got some time left.
Yes.
But just looking at it on paper, how confident are you about like where this team is currently in the stacked West?
I mean, I still have the confidence. I think last year we dealt with injuries, too, so that kind of helped other teams later on in the year. Like, we weren't 100%, but, you know, it's basketball. So, we still are one of the younger teams in the West, and, you know, like, the younger, the better, essentially, just because, you know, you're playing with more energy. You're getting up and down. Yeah. So, like, I think, like you said earlier, people are sleeping on us just because, you know, we missed the playoffs or whatever, and, you know, they're like, who are we going to guard and stuff like that. But I think it'll all, you know, everything will take care of itself. I don't really have too many worries. I think I don't know where we'll rank among the West, but I do think we'll surprise people since I guess they're just not expecting a lot. So
yeah, I think the perspective sometimes is like, oh, they're not that good defensively. I'm like, actually, you guys took steps defensively last year. I think after the break, you guys were top 10 in defense. I thought offensively at times because of the injuries with Monk and Herter, that's where there was struggle.
Yeah. If anything, it was the offensive side that kind of fell off. But yeah.
And then people also like nationally always want to shit on Domas and just be like, how are you going to win with him as your anchor in the middle and defense? Like, you need a shot blocker. And it's like, how does a defensive play end? It ends with a rebound. He gets the goddamn rebound and then he gets it out. Like, what are we even saying? And it's something that we've pushed back on so many of our NBA friends, even of just like, you guys, like the game, the way that the game is played and the way that you guys have shown that you can play defense together with the pieces that you have. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are sleeping and hopefully we're right.
Yeah. I mean, people think they know basketball, but I mean, it is what it is. Everyone has their own opinion. So, you know,
Keon's so nice. Everyone has their own opinion.
Everyone has their own opinion, you know, so...
Last one for you. We're born and raised in Sacramento, so I like to get an outside perspective. You've been here for a few years. What's something about Sacramento that maybe the outsiders don't get about this city? Not about the team, just the city. Is there something that people sleep like? Have you grown to really love the vibe here?
He laughed first.
Yeah, I did, because I don't know. When you think of Sacramento, you're obviously it's not a crazy, crazy town to be in, but it's like very chill, laid back. So I think that is the right perception of Sacramento, but like, I like it just cause me personally, I don't do too much anyway. So like after the gym, I'm probably out. Now, one thing I do hate.
Ooh, I love it. Let's go.
I really wish we had like more food options that closed later. Like, why is everything closed at 9 and 10? That I hate that. I truly hate that. But that's
I'm with
my
you on
biggest,
that.
Yeah.
After games, like sometimes like we either if we have people in town or whatever, or we just want to go eat something, it's like everything's food wise is closed. You're right.
Closed. Yeah. Their night is over.
Okay. Well, I'm glad.
I hate that. Oh my God. I hate that.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
But other than that, so when I'm at the gym, when I'm at home, it's fine. I don't do too much anyway. Probably playing the game or whatever. Yeah. So might go back to the gym. But it's pretty smooth going for me. I like it.
He's Friday night. He's at the gym.
I will say though, my first time coming in, I had been to San Diego the year before, my first year, because my last year in college, we played Notre Dame in the March Madness, and we played in San Diego. So that was my first time coming to Cali. But I didn't really experience too much. It was still kind of a little bit of COVID, so we weren't really doing too much. And then my first time flying in, you know, after we signed or whatever, so I'm flying in a sack. And I'm on the plane. I wake up and I look out the window. I'm like, "What the hell? Like,
where is everything at? Like, all the fields."
Literally, I'm like, "Bro, we're landing in the middle of a farm. Like, that's what it looked like." But we flew, so we had a camp in San Diego, and like, we fly to San Diego, and I'm like, "This is what I thought Sacramento was." But I had never been to California well, too. So I'm like, "Now this is what I thought I was getting into." But
everyone thinks it's just all one big beach town, and then it's like, no, just facts. hold up.
Facts.
But I like that we always like being born and raised in Sacramento. Like we've seen it grow over the years.
All of our NBA friends shit on it. I'm like, yeah, because when you come to town,
you stay at one arena.
You don't go explore Midtown.
Yeah,
you don't go to different spots.
Yeah,
not really.
Yeah. And I got a few, after we're done, I got a few late night food places to throw at you too.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, Keon, seriously, we can't thank you enough for dropping in and hanging out with us.
No problem.
So happy for your success, man. It's been fun.
Appreciate it.
You know, and I think your story is a good lesson. I don't know. It's becoming more common where people go like, hey, they get undrafted. They go to become a two-way and then now in the NBA. And here you are, like, on a full-time deal in the NBA. Like, it's... Crazy. It's awesome, man.
Crazy.
I'm happy for you.
Sacramento loves you, John.
Appreciate it.
So good luck with the rest of the offseason, and we appreciate you.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
It's one and only Keon Ellis.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.